close the vent casing. And we have two items on our agenda. It is the adoption of the minutes. Two sets of minutes. And then the briefing by the Department of Transport on its human resource development strategy to produce test skills for the transportation industry. So we start with the minutes, with the adoption of the minutes. And then after that, I will outline the purpose for this meeting and what it is that we expect to get from the department so that we are at the same level and go moving forward. We have two sets of minutes. The minutes of the 7th of February will start with us, and then we will follow with the minutes of the 14th of February. Well, on page 1 of the minutes of the 7th of February 24, on page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. If this is the reflection of what took place in that meeting, can we then have a mover for the adoption of the meeting, the minutes, as well as the second level? Honorable Dagoud.
Thank you, sir. I move that the minutes be adopted.
Honorable Dagoud moves for the adoption of the minutes. Any second? Honorable Mr. Gennett,
I second Honorable.
Thank you very much. The minutes is adopted. Can we then move to the minutes of the 14th of February 24th, or on page 1?
Page 1 orders would be on my initials. The last time I checked, I was PD, not PK.
You are
PD, not PK.
I thought your initial change was the same as
no, it's not the case. I only said it if anyone else is in the answer.
Okay. So on page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Can we get a mover for the adoption in the second? Honorable Bennett?
I move chair.
Honorable Spooker?
I second the
chair. Thank you very much. The minutes is adopted. Thank you. We are meeting with the department. Following up on a meeting that took place on Tuesday, 21st of June, 2011. I will highlight what issues were raised by the committee in that meeting. Members felt that the presentation was too general and did not include the macro plan. The presentation should have been based on a plan that was already developed and not one that's guided by the questions and comments from the committee. That is what the committee said of us. We also said that the plan was presented by the department, that was presented by the department, should have stated what gap skills were and should have indicated how training on those gap skills could be prioritized by the educational institution in the country. The plan did not address the problem of skill development at provincial and municipal level. Members suggested that the capacity could be added to local training institutions and, if possible, expertise could be brought to the country to benefit the skills transfer. We also raised the lack of planning at municipal level was also raised. The lack of planning at municipal level was also raised by members. The intergovernmental relations framework was developed to deal with the need for departments to work together. The department could consider using the services of the Development Bank of Southern Africa to get engineers to assist at local government level and capacity building initiative. The department was asked to be more specific about time frames for implementation. On the subject of Shobhagalula, members wanted clarity on why the Department of Non-Motorized Transport was prioritizing urban areas when rural and underdeveloped areas were not considered. The committee also wanted to know if the manufacturing plant would be in a rural area and whether the establishment of the plant would be a public-private partnership or just an initiative of the department. The general opinion from the committee was that manufacturing plants for Shobhagalula would be more beneficial in rural areas. This would lead to job creation in rural areas and would have an impact on poverty reduction. The presentation did not talk about job creation and opportunities in the rural areas. The committee was of the opinion that for rural development to take place, jobs should be created where people are residing. Investment could be channeled to rural areas. Growth in the economy should have an impact on poverty reduction. On the subject of transport, members wanted to know from where the rolling stock could be secured. The committee felt that there was no beneficiation through importing. Members noted that they will coach builders in South Africa and that foreign investors tended to use their own expertise and competence. The committee noted that the presentation did not refer to shipbuilding in the maritime industry. Clearance was also sought on what expertise was required for the manufacturing of the electric car and whether a feasibility study was done to ascertain the success and sustainability of the vehicle. It was suggested that the department consider looking into the use of gas-powered buses for the bus transit system, as they have lower carbon emissions. So that is what was discussed in that meeting. But we have also observed that there are many staff members in the department that are on temporary positions. And we would want to know whether that is because of the skill shortage and what is the plan that is related to building that capacity. And we also want to present our perspective, how we see things from our point of view. And to find a way in which we could move from the common perspective and also towards common direction. In 1994, when a new government assumed power, it inherited a country that had got uneasy levels of development. The majority of the people of South Africa were subjected to different systems of education. There were four departments of education in South Africa. And the majority of the people in South Africa were subjected to what was called band education. And I come from that background. At high school, I was subjected to learn a subject which was called domestic science. And I had bigger dreams than becoming a domestic worker. But that is what I was subjected to. This was high school. I was away from home, subjected to a boarding institute. My parents did not know what was offered to us. They thought that they were sending us to good schools where we would get better education. The domestic science that I was subjected to could only prepare me as a domestic worker. I was taught how to wash, how to polish the furniture, how to clean the floor. In 2001, in the State of the Nation address, the former president raised the issue of skill shortage in the country. And he said, I quote, South Africa would need to produce the type of skills that are required to develop the economy of the country, close quote. In 2003, the Department of Transport undertook a survey on public transport. And there is a report that points at challenges that exist in our country in relation to transport. And I will just mention a few. One is that transport in South Africa is not integrated. So that means that the railway line does not take, is not left to the road transport or public transport. You can't take a bus or a taxi and arrive at a railway station without having to interchange. Also, our public transport infrastructure is not linked to public facilities that the public requires to access. Many of our schools do not have adequate schools leading to them, particularly in rural areas. Many of the clinics and hospitals and rural areas do not have adequate roads leading to them. A person who doesn't have a car and who cannot afford to hire a meter taxi finds it difficult to access an airport. Because if you live in a Mlazi, Devon, or Potosin, or Bangin, the railway line doesn't lead to the airport. Also, the railway lines that are leading to the port, we all know the condition and the situation. It presents a situation where only goods can be effectively transported through maritime transportation. People, as much as we have the longest coastline in South Africa, the public can't utilize that mode of transport. I recently traveled from Pietermaritzburg to Johannesburg. On the second, I left Pietermaritzburg on the first, attending a meeting of the ANC and EC that was starting on the second. In terms of scheduling, I was supposed to be in Johannesburg at 7 o'clock. I arrived in Johannesburg at 10:30. I traveled 18 hours from Pietermaritzburg to Johannesburg. I was late for the meeting. I again took a train from Johannesburg on Sunday to Cape Town. I traveled 27 hours. And most of the passengers that were in that train were tourists. Premium class, very difficult train, but it doesn't serve people of South Africa. It is serving tourists and people who go to work every day can't utilize that transport. They have to spend hours at taxi rank and hours at bus stop, and we have undertaken national surveys on public transport. In 2010, this portfolio committee, informed by that study, that survey report, took it upon itself to undertake a study tour and identify a country that has got similarities in terms of the challenges, and a country that came up with a model that speaks to the challenges that country was having, challenges that are similar to the challenges that South Africa currently is facing. And we wrote a report of what we discovered. We went to China and we wrote a report. What we discovered in China was that 30 years ago, they realized that a challenges that they were having were very similar to what we have in South Africa. congestion, high cost of traveling, transport infrastructure, transport that is not integrated. They have not identified which of the transport modes, which among the four modes of transport was going to be the best mode of their transport, and have other modes complementing the best mode. They also discovered that the cost of traveling was high, the time of traveling was high. They also looked at a model that was going to address issues of poverty and issues of integrating communities, developed and other developed communities, issues of making public facilities accessible to the public. All those things that are listed in our survey is what China was faced with 10 years ago. Then they sat down and said, what is it that is needed for us to overcome this problem? They realized that they needed first and foremost skilled people in engineering. Without the skills, they were not going to address the problem that they were facing. And then they did an assessment of what type of skills we needed for China to address the problem that they had identified of transforming their transport system. Then they did two things. They identified countries that were leading in transportation development. First, they first identified which mode of transport was going to be the best mode. And they identified railway transportation as the best mode. Reason, it's a mass mover. Two, it can mass move both freight and public. Number two, it's very rare that you hear that a train could not move on a scheduled time because of the weather. And it happens with planes. Number three, they realized that railway transportation has developed in countries like Germany to a level where the speed of a train can compete. A person who is traveling in a train can easily compete with a person who is traveling on air. And then they decided that they were going to focus mainly on railway transportation development. And they did two things. They said they identified countries and established partnerships with those countries and sent their engineers to go and study in those countries. And they pumped money on scholarships so that their engineers would then learn what was being done by those countries in terms of science and technology. Number two, so they sent two types engineers that were going to focus on academic to come back and develop the curriculum and develop the transportation school in their institution, academic. Because they realized that it was going to be expensive to send people out on the time. So they said people who are going to learn and come back to develop their own educational institution on transportation and establish their own capacity inside the country. The second issue, they sent people to study in the same country. Engineering, focusing on science and technology, so that over a period of time, they would also develop their own technology and have their own brand and their own intellectual property in China. In 17 years, they achieved that. They have universities in China that are producing the skills that they do not have. But they also have moved and are now number one in terms of high speed development. They took what was good from the countries that they sent their people and developed their own technology. They branded it. And then what was interesting when we were there was that they had already committed $200 million to assist South Africa to develop skills. And they had also opened that South Africa can learn from them in the same way that they learn from other countries. And in the long run, South Africa could do exactly what they did. We could have our own technology, we could have our own brand. We could have our own universities that are producing these things. And we thought that report was a very good report for the department to look at and develop the strategy for developing skills that are required for transforming transport in South Africa. I'm saying all this, elaborating, because we are also, as a country, focusing on the new growth path. And in the new growth path, we are specifically one of the objectives of the new growth path is that in the resources that we have in the country, the mineral resources, there should be beneficiation. We should move towards the direction of ensuring that processing of such resources, mineral resources, happens in the country so as to create jobs, reduce poverty, and also address issues of inequality. Again, during the same visit to China, we were exposed to the number of factories that Chinese were able to open manufacturing plants. as a result of having taken that decision. But we are also exposed to information in terms of the mineral resources that are used to produce components that are used to build either a train or an aeroplane or a railway like track. And most of the mineral resources that are being used are actually available here in South Africa and also in the Southern Treaty. They use aluminium, iron ore, most of the things that we have and we are currently exporting to other countries. That is the link then between the human resource development strategy of the department, the new growth path, and also we are expecting that when the department does that, it is working towards, it is informed by the model that the Department of Transport is actually trying to develop for the country, to say this is the model. And to us, that is also of keen interest in view of the fact that South Africa, the Minister of Transport in South Africa, is charged with the responsibility, South Africa is charged with the responsibility of ensuring that the infrastructure in the Southern region, transport infrastructure in the Southern region, is developed, meaning that if South Africa has got that responsibility, the Minister of Transport then has got that responsibility. So I thought that it would be important for us to be upfront and say so that we don't only look inwardly and think that when we call the department, we are talking about the skills development in the Office of Pretoria. No. We're not talking that. No, we are talking the skill development, the scarce skills in transport in the country. Scarce skills that are required for us to respond to challenges of transport in the country. So that information then can get to the Department of Higher Education and the Department of Science and Technology. We are saying so because the Department of Transport, the National Department of Transport, is a policy development department. The model would come out of the policy. Without a policy, we will not have a model of the country. And that model also will be informed by what we see in the municipalities. If we have so many potholes and we undertake oversight and come across departmental staff at provincial level of KwaZulu-Natal fixing an asphalt road, a pothole on an asphalt road, by pouring a cement mixture, what does that tell in terms of engineering? What role is played by CSIR in South Africa? If we can have in the department at a provincial level people that are allowing and are even teaching people that it is correct to repair a pothole on an asphalt surface using a material that will not burn. And we are saying this because the indication, what would indicate to us the problem that we are talking about here, is the 40 billion that we would spend on fatal accidents in this country. That person who is sitting at provincial level doesn't know that we have in this country paid a person who was injured because of a pothole, and at national level, through the road accident fund, we had to pay 500 million pothole. That is how serious the issue of skills development is. So, I don't want to scare you. I want also to allay your fears and tell you that in this committee, we agree to that. We will work as a collective with the department. We will hold you accountable, but at the same time, we will also assist in providing in finding solutions together with you. We will only fight with you when you resist change. When we have seen good practices and you are refusing to learn from them, then we will fight. But at the moment, we are prepared to listen. We are also prepared to hear the truth. Don't window dress, don't cover up, speak the truth, so that we together can find solutions to the problem. That is the approach when we deal with the department. So giving us an understanding of what challenges exist will help us move forward than covering up and putting a glossy light report. We have passed now the stage of planning that was done. We allowed that to happen in 2010 and 2011, restructuring, whatever. Now we are working. We want to see a clear direction of where we are taking this country in terms of transport. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of the Department of Transport, we welcome this approach of informing us of the objectives, not only of this particular meeting, also the intentions of the committee in general, the focus on human resource development. I would like to start off by just introducing the team. And myself, Maria Tue, DDG, Governance Council at the Department of Transport National. Then I have to my left, Mrs. Dipsy Wakeman. She's the Chief Director for Human Resources at the National Department of Transport. And to her right, I have Mrs. Helen Nguni, who is the Director for Human Resource Development and Management at the National Department of Transport. Just for purposes of assisting the committee, the brief that we've got was to also advise the portfolio committee on the human resources development plan of the department relating to job creation within the transport sector. focusing in particular on its contribution to the new growth path. I believe that the minutes of the previous year's meeting relating to this matter and also referred to by the chairperson would really add value if we could be provided with copies of those minutes, also to induce some further effort after closure of this meeting today. I believe that Ms. Wekumang could also in general contribute to the discussion relating to the Portfolios Committee and the Portfolio Committee's visit to China, because it's similarly shared by the department that by contributing in its own efforts, those practices already proven to be shared as successful by our foreign investors and compliance partners. Those are intensely supported by the National Department, and we would happily receive that report and also see to which extent it could contribute to our own endeavors. But then without any further delay, I can request Ms. Wekumang to proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for providing me with the opportunity to present to you. And just to recap on what the chairperson has just alluded to, I just wanted to sort of indicate and share with you these kind of features that I happened to capture when we visited China, and that we are trying to learn from them, just the features, so that you can see the kind of testing labs that we, or institutions that we visited to go and learn, and we are in constant communication with the people in China. Actually, we have discussed from the Chinese Academy of Sciences that will be visiting our department towards the end of this month, where we can actually forge partnerships. Here we were visiting the testing stations where they test the strength of the railway. And so we went to the factories where they do all these things, and then we were hoping that we would ask them to come over here, to come and teach us how they actually do with their things. That's just a highlight of saying we seem to be sharing the same sentiments. We are not only focusing our attention on the OTS side, but we are trying to force some such partnerships. Without much ado, let me just go on to present what we have as a presentation to report back on progress in terms of the skills and critical skills. I'm not going to explain in depth each and every slide, but just to indicate that the purpose is to provide progress support on skills development intervention in the transport sector in response to the new growth path, job creation, sustainability, and transformation. And I put this slide on just to remind ourselves it was presented to this committee before. Just to say, this is the model or the strategy that we have put together to align our skills development. We are basically informed by the legislative framework on skills development. We are taking the legislative framework of our country into consideration. That one that has been developed again by the DSA, we are taking into consideration. But we are also having a strategy in terms of aligning our structure. As the chairperson has already alluded, we have concluded our structuring process. If you remember very well, we were slow, efficient, affordable, reliable, accessible transport system. We would like to improve the rural access, infrastructure, and mobility. We would like to also improve the public transport system through skills development in partnership with the private, public, and international institutions. So that is our vision. But we would like, when we report in terms of the road. Because before, when you talk engineers, we produce so many engineers. Are they in road? Are they in rail? Are they in air and maritime? Because engineering differs in terms of those skills. So we want, when we come back to you to report, we would like to report and say, in the road field, we have produced so many civil engineers and so many mechanical engineers and so forth, so that our reporting is more structured. And coupled with the specific technical competencies or skills that we are trying to build in all those modes of transport, we are considering again, the fact that we've got skills in planning, especially the town planning, where we can have that integration. That is why our structure has got integration planning as part of aligning all this. We've got project management, implementation, and public transport as output towards this end. All what we are trying to say is that if we develop skills, we develop skills in order to create decent jobs, in order to ensure that people continue to upgrade their skills. We also look at people who have been there before, like, for instance, town planners, who can mentor the young ones, because you can't just come in and zoom in. We are also looking at other types of building initiatives and looking at international partners that we can partner with to assist us. And seminars and conferences are part of those. And the focus, again, we look at the holistic approach in terms of skills development to zoom directly into the core competencies that are needed in transport, the generic competencies, for instance, at management level, and the technical competencies, like I've just alluded to, in terms of specific technical competencies in those specific modes of transport. And we are also looking at having sustainable development programs that will alleviate poverty. So ours is actually quite a holistic approach to skills development. We are not only looking at that. We have to clearly identify the need. If you look at that, we have a process of identifying skills needs in terms of the web-based skills development program. And then we're looking at developing the management skills because if you neglect that area, you can have a manager that doesn't have the necessary competence to run the project. We are looking at technical skills as well, coaching, mentoring, leadership, internships. We offer bursaries. We also look at scholarships, and I will allude to all that when we come to the interventions that we have. And we are also looking at rolling in retired professionals who can be able to provide the kind of mentorship that we are investing in and the professional one.
Yes,
I need to apologize to the effect that I have that we've identified skills and critical skills that are needed in roads, and those are engineers, civil, mechanical, electrical, artisans, architects, road maintenance officers, and so on. I'm not going to go through all of those. And the identified skills in and critical skills in rail, also is engineers, experts, rail infrastructure development, rail safety inspectors, but these are just a highlight of those that are needed. If you look at all modes of transport, we need drivers. Whether you call it pilots or drivers, it's still the same. We need engineers, we need assistants, we need. So if you look at each and every mode of transport, we'll always need a critical skills in terms of driving skills, in terms of preparing pilots to fly aeroplanes, in terms of mechanical engineering to repair those. But we're saying that we are in partnership with a number of partners like universities, which I will explain later. We have now started to develop a strategy that seeks to address each and every mode of transport. As a result of that, we drafted three chapters on roads to look at the strategy on roads, maritime, aviation, and we have completed those three chapters. We are just now in engagement with the rail fraternity. You would also recall that the rail have got their own school where they train their drivers, but we would like to expand it to say when you develop industries in rail, are you also looking at those people who can actually make rails and do all sorts of things? And if I was just to make an example, again, we happened to visit an institution in China where it has got it started in about 1819, where it starts right from a grade one up to tertiary level in terms of the rail train. So the school is actually based in the manufacturing company where they start from grade one right up to just to focus on the rail train. So I think those are the kind of things that we will learn as we visit other countries, but bring back what we have, make reports and engage with the people who can be able to give us go ahead. And this is a framework of saying, let me just go back a little and say, one of the key areas that we're focusing on is to build the field coordinating bodies for each mode of transport, and we call it the CAPCO, realizing the fact that we as a field development facilitators, we can only go this far, but the people who are technical in nature will be able to say this is the standard that we have set for the road infrastructure and this is how it should be done. Otherwise, if you don't meet the standard, you cannot be able to do the work in the road. And we're looking at this framework of skills and capacity coordination and engaging with all people who might relate to the transport in terms of energy and environment, and then strategic support coordination.
Chairperson, we're not working off the original presentation that we were sent. We're now working off the one which copies are available there. Now, I've got a copy of the one available there, and that page doesn't even appear on the new version either. So can you tell me what page you are on now? Do we have that graph somewhere in this document? This is the new one that you bought this morning.
No, this is the one that was sent from my
I
Chairperson, we will improve on that. I was still on the slide just standards that we are expecting in the field of souls, in the field of aviation, when we do certain things. So this is how we plan to establish those coordinating bodies. And in terms of the strategic intervention that we have presented in the transport sector today, we are registering and producing more or less about 500 students annually in the a number of universities that we are coordinating with. We have 13 universities that we have grouped together in three centers of development, and they are very specific in terms of the focus areas that they focus on. For instance, in terms of engineering, civil, mechanical, industrial, maritime, we've got TUT, which is from the Ministry of Technology and the University of Pretoria, focusing on those areas. Transport economics is provided by UK, University of Northwest, UNISA. Transport and freight is UK, UNISA, University of Northwest, UNISA. Maritime studies, University of Cambridge, and transport management, University of Cleveland, transport training, university, and so forth. You realize that there are some universities, like Limpopo University, that has not yet been part of the COP. We are in engagement with them. They are providing their transport related assistance, but they are not part of the of the COP, but we are working on them. And 70% of the above mentioned students are successfully placed in various transport sector industries, whereas others participate in intensive. We collaborate with SEC colleges on various benefits and development programs. DOT also continues to employ annually plus or minus 45 in 10 in various transport fields, some of which are generic in nature, in the sense that we will be asking branch managers to actually indicate the kind of intensive that they would like, and they will indicate to us. And the idea is have 5 intents in each and every mode of transport in the next coming year. We also have the craft scholarship, where we have about 17 students in Czechoslovakia in tech in the University of Kaliguchi, 5 of whom are completing their studies this year, and they indicated that they wanted to continue their master's degree. We are still negotiating funding that can actually allow them. We want to continue with this scholarship program, provided that we receive more funding to roll in more students. We have had arrangements with CETA for their placement when they finish their studies. We are continuing with the SEC vocational qualification. We have started this year with 5 pilot sites where we are implementing this SEC. It has gone through the process of being approved by National Qualifications Authority, by education and so on. So we are trying to introduce normal turnover of secretaries in the street is estimated at the $2 billion. Other key provincial interventions. These are targets for job creation in those province, and that is what each and every province targeted to actually spend on jobs and to allocate jobs. Mpumalanga has got 505 on various interventions. And the last column. Yeah. Further education and training, I think there was an attitude, actually, not SDT. Yeah. Further education and training, though. Sorry about that.
Target for job creation goes to talking.
Yes,
and therefore,
these were targets for 2011, and some of them, 2011, some of them are actually happening at the moment, but these are the targets in terms of their work.
And the actual these are targets, isn't it? And what are the actual number of jobs to be created? You are talking about number of jobs to be created and how many were actually created. That's my question.
Yeah, number of jobs to be created was
52,
and the number of jobs that were
So this is target and actual.
Mpumalanga 505 are targeted.
from Gandhi as the term of your Dendela. What does that mean?
Commenced between the School of Rail and Transnet Rail, Rail
trend of self-development has been taken to the provinces, the agencies, and to our partners, who are the people who are at the coal face of the humanity. Most of the time in transport, we can coordinate those skills, but the actual skills development is happening in terms of the agencies, because we've got to provide the workplace skills plan and a report in terms of what we have seen.
Thank you very much. Is there any addition that the position is going to be? Is that if you are covered and if you can do that kind of something in particular?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Maybe just to fill in the presentation, it's actually critical to mention that DOT is not necessarily focusing inwardly in terms of developing skills to members of staff, but it's really trying to go an extra mile in terms of forging strategic partnerships and alliances across the industry, because we do acknowledge the fact that transport is very, very broad. We are in actual fact engaging with various sectors to try and assist us in terms of identifying and streamlining our activities and our programs much more effectively. NetZeta is one of them. Currently, we're working very closely with them to strengthen the capacity and phase of women that are actually interested to get into engineering-related kind of profession. We are also working very closely with the construction sector, the local government sector, the bus sector, and the transport sector that Ms. Weshuman has alluded to. Then secondly, let me also just indicate that we have a sector skills plan. A sector skills plan broadly outlines various skills and critical skills across various modes. And that has actually been informed by an extensive research study that was conducted by the Transport Education and Training. But you will note that in terms of our National Skills Development Strategy 3, all sectors are in actual fact expected to do that. So in transport as well, that particular area has been addressed. And of course, now recently there was an update around it as well, so that it can be in a position to identify the short, the medium, and the long-term kind of intervention that our sector requires. Then, in order for us as well, although we acknowledge the fact that we are operating as a policy and a strategy-making department, however, we are trying to infiltrate provincial structures and municipal structures through the skills development facilitators that we have actually established in various provinces, so that we can be in a position to get first-hand kind of information from those particular provinces and the municipalities. And I must also indicate the fact that in some instances, it becomes, as much as we are trying very hard, it becomes very difficult to get the cooperation that we are anticipating or which we require, especially from certain municipalities and provinces. Some of the part of the presentation that Ms. Wechumang has actually touched base on has alluded to the fact that there are only some few provinces that responded to the national mandate. And we are still trying very hard on our side to make sure that ultimately, when we come back, we should be in a position to portray a much more consolidated kind of an approach towards skills development through the cooperation. Then I must also indicate that on the issue of skills development that touches on women, which the chairperson has actually alluded to as well, I must indicate that we are trying our best to work with various service providers to ensure the issue of accelerated development programs, more particularly for people that are disabled and our women. That information has already been communicated to the provinces and the municipalities as well. Then we are also having other programs that are in the pipeline, for example, which we have not necessarily talked through in advance, that we have to discuss within the department itself so that we can be able to escalate them to the level that is required. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can we have now questions? Clarity? comments on our agenda?
Little chapter that is before question. What I'm going to say. But chapter, I don't know what you are going to say about this presentation. And you were not even satisfied with the last one. I think this one is worse than the last week's one. We have been hammering to the department the fact that we need to have the documents before. We're dealing with figures today. Figures that we just passed the pages. And we're going to agree and say yes. And we haven't. What we should be doing really today was, yes, you've given us the document, let us go and study it and come back. But because we're thinking of you as well, it is very difficult. There are things that we need to know about. And for instance, pages like, say, thinking target for job creation, you just say, provinces, what, and the past. And you go to another one with figures, and you just read the target, and you pass. What about the whole page of figures? What are we going to do about that? That means we haven't done anything to tell the honest facts. Let alone what the chairperson said last week to the department. That's a small print. Not because, yes, I am old, really. I cannot run away from that thing. But small print that even the young ones cannot read. It is not acceptable, really. I don't know what is going on with the department. We are saying we need to work with you, but you seem to be going, allowing a big gap between us and you. Today, I just don't know. We are going to have questions, but I don't know how can we have questions in such a representation that we have not seen, we have not studied. Thanks.
Before I go to other members, I want to also get a clarity. Maybe there is a problem on our side that we don't see in terms of making the department as well as the entity respond to us in terms of giving us the document in time so that we can discuss the information that is given to us. Let me explain how it works. Today we are sitting at the portfolio committee. Tomorrow is Wednesday. After the house meeting, we sit and study to consider next week items of the agenda. So what we shall be discussing next week at the portfolio committee level is discussed tomorrow in the study group. This is why we have this well in advance to indicate to the department what shall be discussed on what date. So that you don't only wait for the letter that is reminding you that you are expected to appear in front of the portfolio committee and present. What is here is a program to the end of the first term. It has got all agenda items that we shall be discussing. We are on the 21st. Next week, it is the 28th. We are sitting to consider a briefing by the Department of on quarterly expenditure. It even has the objectives of why we want that and where the meeting will take place. That is the forward planning that we have. What does that mean? It means that in terms of information from the department,
grant today should be printed once we shall be discussing next week, so that we can get that in our pigeonhole and then have that information when we sit tomorrow in our study group. Because when we come here, as much as Honorable Mbele is alone from COVID, but he is not here in this meeting representing his youth. He is here in this meeting representing the position of COVID. The same applies to Honorable Oli. So if we then receive information in the morning, on the day on which we sit as a portfolio committee, we have then denied the political party that we represent here an opportunity of looking at those issues in relation to the views and the policies of those political parties, and come here having given those mandates, those members, a mandate of what to say in the portfolio committee. And I think it is very, very important for us to explain this to the department, because it looks like we are not on the same page in terms of understanding the processes of Parliament, how we arrive at what we say in here. There is even a norm of saying if you have not attended your study group meeting, don't come and comment in the meeting, because you will be representing your own views, not the views of the political party that you represent. So you are then, by not giving us information on time, disturbing the whole process of how we arrive at decisions as political parties in Parliament. I will then allow Honorable Ollis, followed by Honorable Kagoda.
You're just doing clarities now, and the questions will come later. Or just do the clarity issues first, and questions will come later.
No, I said questions of clarity and questions and comments.
Then if I could just talk to you, page 5 on our printed thing, the top slide, it doesn't have a number, but skill strategic intervention. Ma'am, you said something, and I didn't quite get it, you said something about from grade 1, a focus on, I think, education or something. And I'm just trying to, I didn't get the sentence to you. Not past year, it's something that you said. You said something about from grade 1 there will be a focus on, I don't know, transportation or education or something. And it seems to imply that in the schools you have a program, and I don't quite know what it is. Because you explain what you meant by from grade 1 there will be a focus, but I don't know what that means. Then page 9 of our the printed copy. Again, the slide doesn't have a number. You teach job creation interventions. You say there's interns, 175 are employed, and 175 are unemployed. Now, we always get nervous when the number is exactly the same. That usually implies that it's not accurate. Is that really the accurate number? And then you say on page 21, there's not enough capacity to address the shortage in rolling stock manufacturers. I find that hard to believe. If you mean that in South Africa there is not enough capacity to build coaches and train components or rolling stock or whatever, locomotives and so on, that's not true. Union carriage and wagon in Nigel in Gauteng, my province, it stands at, I don't know, it's operating at like 20% capacity. In the Western Cape, there are 3 yards that can build and locomotives and so on. So perhaps, I don't understand what you mean by that, but to say there's not enough capacity to address the shortage in rolling stock manufacturers, I mean, it's a question of money. Government has to spend money in order to refurbish rolling stock or build new rolling stock. It's not a question of a capacity problem, it's a question of money. We don't have enough money to order all those new trains and carriages or to refurbish the existing ones. We're going to refurbish only 450 units this next financial year, according to the plan. And we need probably 900 a year because all of the rolling stock is so old and falling to pieces. But it's certainly not a capacity problem. Christoph, we don't have enough money to pay for all of that because it's quite expensive. So perhaps you could just elaborate what capacity problem there is.
I was hoping that after outlining clearly that what is it that we expect as a committee, I was hoping when the department started to present to us and they agreed with what you were saying. So I was hoping that what we would get from this presentation is exactly what we are expecting as you clearly outlined it. So as far as with page 9, I don't know, on the learnership, the numbers are not, when I look at these numbers, only 594 are funded, 600 are competent, 601, then 600 are employed, and 350 still are numbers. So I don't understand these numbers. What was the target? Because if you say 594 are funded, then where does this 601 coming from? I don't know. Then with the buzzer, 155 are unemployed but funded. And make me understand as to the medical knowledge that I have, when is the department issued another? For learners to go and find, when they come back, they are placed somewhere. So I don't understand if these 155 are unemployed, but they were funded by the department. So that is where I need to be clarified. Then you mentioned something about your expectations from the higher learning institution is that they take 75% of black people in the shop. Then, if that is the case, how are you monitoring them to ensure that your target is realized? And that goes also together with this 50% of a female learner. Then how do we ensure that this dream of the department is realized in those institutions? And also, your recruitment strategy, especially in the rural areas, because that is where most of the learners who pass their matric are not doing anything because they don't have money to go to university. And those learners are not exposed to, let's say, your internet, that they get all this information. They are in rural areas where there is none of even the national newspapers, they don't have that. Some doesn't even have a radio that they can listen to. What is the criteria of recruitment? Then when it comes to Shovagalunga, I was interested in hearing the area that you are targeting for this Shovagalunga, because in my understanding where I am sitting, the people that we represent are the most disadvantaged people. The chairperson explained clearly that parents. And this trauma that we have must be given to learners in the rural areas, because they are the ones who are walking long distances to school and there are no rules. So last week, Chapter 7, I have many questions here. You said 267 engineers were trained in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KZN. They were trained. Not that they are still in training, they were trained. Where are these engineers placed after training? Because from where I see it is that we have these rural municipalities where there are no rooms, no access to public facilities and all that. And there's a need for engineers in those municipalities. But there is none. When you started to present, you mentioned that you showed us pictures that you had a son from China to learn more. My expectation after that was to hear that the department has a section that is dealing maybe with the training, with the skills that you went to China to learn something. Then you cannot expect that the very same institution of higher learning that we had, that we've been having long time ago here in South Africa, they are going to train those people to transform or integrate our public transport system. So I was hoping that the department will initiate something different from those, something that will focus mainly on the skills that we have learned, that will perfect everything.
Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation is speak of HRT plan and job commission on human transport sector. The HRT plan, human resource development plan. I would have thought that, Chairperson, this presentation will give us the done very limited form. The challenges that we are encountering, or the historical background that we are having as a country, in as far as the HRC plan is. Your entry point, so that you say this is the scenario, this is where we are, and this is where we are going to. And in that going to, they will plot a budget to fix that, so that we see from where we are going, from where we are coming, and where we are going to, so that we don't retrogress in our approach trying to catch up with this shortage of skills when we talk HRT planning. And it should not be located, because I don't want to get the impression that it is merely focused in 3 provinces out of 9 provinces. Or within those 3 provinces, only 3 higher learning institutions in the city. Because if you talk of these types of skills that you are engagement, I would have thought that among the tertiary institutions that would come strongly in this time around would be your technical, FET technical that might come picture very strongly, so that we deal with that. Because they are at that level where they are strong. But nevertheless, maybe it's for an engagement to convince one another when we talk of especially in transport. And the thought that all those people go deeper to address the question of the gender in particular on these matters. So that we are clear, let alone the disabled people or people with disabilities. So that we look at the gravity of the situation, or the magnitude that we are in. that recruitment, because I was also going to speak about the recruitment strategy. It's not very strong. It is absolutely not very strong, the recruitment strategy. Of which I would have thought that also you will say, in your recruitment strategy, we will place our emphasis, by looking at the geographic sector, especially those rural communities, because there are areas that stick to roads, our bad roads are in the rural. You will emphasize on certain provinces so that they catch up with that rail and so on. But it's not coming very strong, the issue of the rural, how to address the matter. The last point, I don't know how to deal with this matter. The output of the department, yesterday was assisted from Lena, but I'm not getting a sense where are they in particular now, those who have completed that training, where are they, what are they doing, so that also we make a follow-up on our constituency days to those that have been assisted through the other teams by the department. I'm not sure where to look for them, to check whether it was available money, so that you don't get a situation like helping people in different doctors and then they move to the urban rather than going to where they need to be. My last is it's around the theater. You know, I think we need a specific presentation on the theater. In this session, it doesn't go tell a good story, not a formal. We need a special proper presentation on our theater. Because it would seem to me that we are taking something greater from the theater and just come to present it. It does not give me the impression that we as the government party or the department on the private seat of theater as to what your output wants to, what we want to achieve out of that. This means that we are just making money and giving figures. But to qualify that we are doing, I'm not getting the sense that we are hands-on. We are in the private seat. Not that we are not hands-on, but we are not in the private seat as the department. Because lots of money going to theater. And to what extent that money is used and whether it is valuable money, it pays to me. So I'm saying we do need a proper presentation on the theater because these pages that we are given here, no, not at all. I mean, it cannot be a government that does not know what are we doing, and the theater seems to be aloof and untouchable when it comes to theater. And yet we gave them every time a lot of money to address and to assist us. So, can I make that firm proposal? We need a special presentation. My last challenge, we see also this thing of the job creation. We need to analyze it. I don't think it gives us to speak boldly that we might be creating real jobs. Whether it's temporary, or is it permanent, or is it semi, but it does not tell the story in this document. Whether it is analysis, whether it was the mistake of the FTP, it was FTE or rather FTP. I mean, as a person who comes from the Eastern Cape, we do engage with our government. I will go there and find whether it is true and where are the things we had the tall task recently. An oversight in the detail of Swakai, whether this is a correlation between these figures and what is happening on the ground. I'm saying we need more information on this issue of the topic. This is just but one. There's another one where the department seems to be a bit apologetic, where the investment actually took me as a program in their figures when it comes to job creation. Remember, is one of the five priorities, this matter of job creation. We must be really robust when we talk about job creation and be very serious and give us confidence that we will arrive. And with time frame, this presentation does not have time frame as we would like to have. Because as officials, we would like to have some time frame fear, something, attachment, and so on. So that when you come back, we judge you on the things of what you did. The one I did is maritime. Mostly, we do all, we've got the longest coastal, coastal line. And we don't owe any issues. I'm sure I don't want to believe that we are talking about ships that are owned by private companies. What is the story? Who owns the other ships? This is the number one. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's on page 8 on the one private scholarship. On page 8, you are saying 16 students. The following page, you are saying 17 students. I don't know whether it's typing error or there is some student who's behaving like Maccabee to the district and appearing and disappearing and stuff. Then on the following page, page 9, on apprenticeship employment, you are saying 241 out of 296 are completing soon. I would like to know what is the story with that pending amount of about 55 students. When are they complete? Or what's the story? And then the other one would be on page 13 on the number of FET jobs. I think on this one I need enlightenment. I see that with the second column is saying allocation and then taking allocation, and then you are saying number of jobs to be created, that is the number. And then I get confused on number of FET jobs. This figure that you are putting here, I don't know whether you want to speak to the fact that this is the number of students or learners that have been produced by the FET, or whether FETs are now employing. I'm confused. I would like to be nice about that. And then last feature would be on page 14, where you are speaking to 126 unemployed graduates with appropriate or relevant national diplomas and degrees are sought for period of trust. I would like to know whether there is an exit strategy, because what happens to the master class is an exit strategy on the part of the department for all these young people that are going this leadership and so on. I think it should.
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague was talking about food. I was concerned also with the figure. But the other issue is that on page 13, I don't know, maybe it's a in Mpumalanga, I hear the presenter saying 2,000. And here is 200. I'm not sure if there's a mistake somewhere. But the other thing, on our last meeting last year, we were talking about not to consider only universities, but even the colleges when coming to the skills of to educate better skills. They must also consider the colleges. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I am looking at what you raised when the meeting began, that training should be training of communities and not training in Pretoria. And I was looking for a slide that would indicate the training of communities per province. In page 13, you have target for job creation per province employed. And I was looking for a slide that would indicate skills development per province. That in Mpumalanga, we are targeting so many people. In this province, so many people. In this province, so many people. And this is a total for all the provinces for skills development. And I'm not seeing anything that indicates how you are targeting communities or provinces. And I can't, you know, speak about that, that you are indeed targeting communities. The second issue, Chair, is that it should be indicated that these are the institutions you are working with per province. You should be saying in all the 9 provinces, these are the people per province, so that we can also, on our own, link as members of the committee, link with the institutions in our own province, that this is what you are doing, skills development in this province. If it is possible, Chair, that those institutions in those provinces, you know, we must also be given, these are the people that you are linking with. Those coordinators, who are those coordinators per province? The last issue, Chair, relates here in page 13, relates to job creation. You indicate Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Western, it means that the other provinces that are not listed here, they are not doing anything for job creation. Are they not participating? Are they not working with you? You don't have what you are doing in job creation. Because, like Comrade Suga indicated, job creation is a major issue for us. And if you don't give us in per province what job creation is being done by each province, it's not sufficient for us, you know, to say indeed all the 9 provinces are doing something about job creation. We can even attest to that as members of the committee, that indeed all provinces are participating.
Thank you. Can I
allow
the question?
Some of the responses are allowed some of my colleagues to respond to. I just wanted to indicate that I talked about systemic issues that have got to be resolved. Each and every department, each and every agency, each and every province, they've got to have their workplace skills plan from which they operate, and then they meet those figures. They don't necessarily report to the DOC in terms of those workplace skills plans. They need to their teachers. They also need to the institution that actually receive those and analyze them and say, for this much committed and this much you have not done this. What I want to say is that
we have a policy, government policy, called Intergovernmental Relations Committee. We are now sharing of information between the spheres of government, basically and horizontally. So your response then does not disregard intergovernmental framework. Number 2, we don't have a rule and any law that says you as the Department of Transport will be charged for violating this particular law if you were to ask for that information. And for you as a department that is sitting on top, charged with the responsibility of developing policy, you have every right to get that information for you to develop a national strategy for skills development in South Africa. So that response has no room. Because it is a response that is saying to us, we are still working inside you. Maybe the response that we can accept here is a response that says, we didn't present that information here as expected by members of parliament because we didn't understand that we would need that information. That is what we can say as a response. But not a report that says such a clear report to what and what and what. We can't take that kind of report because this government and this parliament has passed a policy of an intergovernmental relations framework.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I was responding to why some of the provinces didn't give us the information that we needed to come and report it here. As the Honourable Member was asking, why only certain provinces? And I was just indicating the difficulty. Yes, I acknowledge that. And in one of my presentations, I actually outlined still systematic challenges that we have to overcome. I acknowledge that. When I was talking about the grade 9, I was saying grade 9, not 1. The technical program we are trying to get from grade. Sorry about that. I wanted to indicate grade 9. Can I give you a few resources to put together?
Thank you, Honorable Member. The report on the figures, we have actually extracted it through our engagement with the Transport Educational Training Authority. So the 175 that was a concern was actually one of the reports, was actually extracted out of that particular report. And several more other figures that we have actually alluded to. And I agree with the Honourable Member that maybe it would be very important to invite them to give us a much more clearer indication from the FITA side. But I align myself with. Then there was also a question that was raised around the issue of FET. I'm sorry, Chairperson, I might not be in a position to allude to them as chronologically as they have been said, but I will try and address the question. On issues of the FET, we've actually indicated that as a start, over and above some of the interventions that have actually been addressed, we have developed a transport qualification that speaks to areas of operation to close the currently existing operational gaps that are existing across various modes of transport. And we've started with it, it's a pilot, and we are hoping to extend it to other provinces, Not that we did not invite other provinces as well when we started with the pilot. We, for example, approached Mpumalanga, and they said to us, ma'am, as much as we would like to be part of it, but at this point, we cannot have the human capacity to can be able to do that. We've approached Eastern Cape as well, and they said, we cannot be in a position at this point, but in the next phase, we'll try our level best to come on board. And still on the issue of FAT chairperson, I must actually indicate that during our engagement with Transnet, we tried to establish exactly to what extent are we actually addressing issues of rail. Now that we have covered the issues of the generics, we are now moving from the generics to the specialist area. What are they doing? And that's when they said to us, we've already started to, with university, FET colleges, partnerships to come up with rail operations and rail logistics. Then we also approached the Department of Higher Education on areas of maritime as well, because we felt that we are lacking on maritime. And there was an agreement that now that we have already, you know, began that kind of a relationship with the DOT in terms of FET, please come on board so that we can jointly start to develop a curriculum on maritime. And that work is also beginning, and we hope in about 18 months' time, because normally a qualification takes almost 18 months, would have been in a position to integrate the issue of maritime. Okay. Then there was also an issue of PAC that we have actually alluded to. I must actually indicate that initially the students were 17, but at this point in time we have 16 students. And I think in the presentation there was actually a mistake. We currently have 16 students on board within our PAC scholarship program. And this particular student are actually intended to strengthen the capacity base of the transportation sector, just as a start. If we manage to get additional money over and above the 2 million that we are currently getting, we'll be in a position to strengthen that and be in a position to ensure that we attract even more to penetrate various areas within the transportation arena across various modes of. Then there was also the issue of the COD tracking. To what extent are we actually tracking the impact of the throughput that we are producing through our CODs or our centers of development or our transport educational institutions? What we are normally doing, Chairperson, is that we are continuously conducting one-site visits to try and check whether the funded institutions are actually responding to the framework agreement that was actually signed with them. Are they in actual fact managing to achieve those particular targets? And if not, we are interrogating that particular arena. We are also continuously conducting audits. On an annual basis, we are commissioning audits to establish the extent to which, in actual fact, they've been aligning themselves with the policies of government. And of course, we have periodic reporting, and where we identify issues of scarcity of funding, we always try to think about ways and means of influencing how we can be in a position to generate additional resources. For example, last year, we had what they call a national coordinating committee. I'm just citing the most recent example. And in that particular committee, we agreed amongst ourselves that during March, we have to sit around the table and relook at our situation as the project coordinators and the project leaders of the centers of development, saying, are we already responding to the H1 mandate of government? And if we are not, to what extent can we actually try and streamline accordingly? So those are just some few examples that we are also trying to use as avenues of addressing the issue of the COD tracking. I'm now going to hand over back to my colleague to continue with other things. Thank you.
The issue of gender and disabled people was mentioned in terms of how do we recruit them. I mentioned the program of TechnoGirl that we are using as an intervention to attract more gender, more seniors into the transport fraternity. That TechnoGirl program is actually to attract and to expose students towards this. I also mentioned the transport activity centers that we have. In actual fact, is just to instill some kind of interest for students to study along the lines of math and science and to support educators and learners through what I mentioned as mobile laboratories. So those are the kind of interventions that we are embarking on so that we can have more students attracted to the engineering field, because those are the fields that actually need some hard skills. So those are the interventions that we have. I also want to mention that it's not that we are satisfied that we are doing what we are supposed to be doing and it's enough. Program after program, we start, like we mentioned, that we are introducing the transport curriculum in industry colleges so that the students who couldn't make it to matric or who are in matric and are unemployed can actually join in. I also mentioned the fact that we have 5 pilot sites where this year is going to be the first year and we want to expand. In terms of the figures, I also indicated that it is very difficult to authoritatively speak on the figures and send them. The figures that we can send are the programs that we are directly involved in, like the CODs, the track, we can easily tell you even the number of intensives that are in our department, it is unfortunate that we as a department in Canada, we do not deal directly with learnership. We deal directly with intensive where the graduates will be given the opportunity to expose themselves to policy making and so forth. But what I want to just indicate is that we are waiting to collaborate with our counterparts. Like my colleague has just said, we have monthly meetings with our skills development facilitators. Some of them, even when they give us the figures, taking into consideration that some of our provincial departments are not organized in the similar manner in which we as national are organized. So there will be transport and public works in a problem as a department, and when they give us those figures, they don't necessarily separate the transport skills from the others. So what I'm saying is that, yes, we acknowledge the systematic problems that have got to be resolved. We are not saying it's easy to resolve those. We know that there are faster meetings that take place, but you know, sometimes when you sort of want to report on a
thank you. I would like to start off by just acknowledging the comment and thank you for the honourable members. It is quite clear that the information that the portfolio committee is actually requiring from the department is not coming forth, because I think there might have been a misunderstanding from the mandate to be executed today on behalf of the department relating to the human resources development process. However, Chairperson, with your permission, I would like to suggest that we do provide the department with the opportunity to engage also our different modal counterparts in the department to actually be able to answer to the figures, because I think the figures are quite important, only also the breakdown within the provinces and the municipalities, that we really can provide this committee with the necessary figures relating to the learnership, the bursary, the actual job creation, and I believe also the skills development of province, that we can be very clear on that. Chairperson, just from our side, when we look at the macro plan, and I think that was a very important comment made by one of the honourable members, it is quite challenging. And I think when our chairperson here indicated that we must be frank, I think this is our turn to be quite frank. It's not impossible to overcome. And I think with our intergovernmental relations framework, it is actually making it possible to engage and get the different pieces of information. But that is the difficult part, and I think we need to advance that, to get the macro plan together so that it actually works. Because at the moment we are approaching it from an ad hoc point of departure, we are not succeeding, and that is why it's like keeping year after year and it's not really progressing. If we could come to the portfolio committee, and I believe that is the request here, that we really put together something that can integrate all the different transport challenges into a multidisciplinary approach with regards to skills development, then we can start talking actual targets, how it will speak to the growth in the economy, how it will speak to the growth in our labour force and job creation in particular. So, Chair, from my side, I think we need to acknowledge that although we are actually producing quite good results in an ad hoc fashion, and that we do provide learnership and a lot of good contributions into the transport sector through our agencies, we are not speaking to the matters that the portfolio committee has highlighted today. We would like to request an opportunity to engage our principals in this regard and to provide for an opportunity to then come again and really present answers to all these questions raised today, as well as possible for that taking these matters forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation and the engagement. I think we are not at the same level. We have not called one another. What is it that the portfolio committee wants? And how it differs from what is being presented by the Department of Transport. The input by the DPG speaks to that, that we have not found one another. We are meeting now for the second time. We met on the 21st of June, and we indicated to the department that this is not the information that we require from the department. And we are still saying the same today. We are going to ask you to go and read the report on the public survey, on the public transport survey, the report of 2003.
we are also going to ask you for the report of the study for undertaken by the portfolio committee in 2010 to China. And we are also going to ask you to interact with the Chinese Department of Transport and understand the difference between a strategy, a model, and a program. Because we are talking the model and the strategy, a strategic intervention, and you are talking program. You are presenting programs to us. Programs are born out of strategic intervention, a model of the country, and then the program. When you present the Tamba Songe and Shobabalula, those are programs. A strategic intervention in terms of human resource development, and we even say, link that to the new growth path. What we are expecting from you, before you sit down and develop that strategy, we expect you to have a clear understanding of what problems the country is faced with in relation to transport. And having understood those problems that the country is faced with in terms of transport, you then come to say, where do we want to be? Is that where you ask the current situation and where do we want to be? Then you work backwards from where you want to be to identify all the things that you need to do to move from where you are to where you want to be. That will then help you to identify what is it that you would want to change in order for you to be where you want to be. And what is it that you have at your disposal which will enable you to do what you want, you have identified as that which you have to do in order to be where you want to be. What is it that I have at my disposal? I want to go to Johannesburg. I am in Devon. What do I need in order to reach Johannesburg? And how much time will I need? Because I have chosen a particular mode or a particular tool that I'm going to use, which will take me from where I am to where I want to be. That is strategy. Not program, strategy, intervention. So what we wanted to hear today was, for us to develop transport in South Africa, we need skills. And then we need to ask a question. Do we currently have all the skills that we need in order to transport this country? And we cannot arrive at those skills that we would need in order to transport in the country if we have not identified which of the out of the four transport modes is going to be the best form
our trust. Because we will need to invest differently. We will not just say we need to develop 100 people in roads, we need to develop 100 people in aviation, 100 people in maritime, and 100 people in rail. Our investment in terms of the human resources that we need will depend on our strategic decision. Which out of the four transport modes is the backbone of the country, of the transport? And then when we have done that, we lift the skills that are needed for that transport mode to become the backbone of transport in the country. If I may make an example, China was able to open 24 manufacturing plants after taking the decision that the railway transportation is the backbone of transport. 24 manufacturing plants to manufacture different components that are used to manufacture trains and also to manufacture the railway line and the signaling systems that are needed. The same would apply to us. We will not talk of acquiring trains without deciding as to whether we want to assemble trains in South Africa or we want to manufacture trains in South Africa. How is the issue of upgrading our railway transportation, how does it relate to the new group? But that is what we want to hear. And in your case, human resource development, allow the country to prepare itself to develop those skills so that when that time comes, we have the workforce that is required to absorb, to be absorbed in employment. Then you identify the current skills level. We have these skills, but they are at this level. So we need to upgrade so many of our existing engineers. We need to produce so many that do not exist, because we have done a thorough analysis of the skills level that we currently have. Then our next phase will be, if we have so many, how would we really need to be on par to have a supply that is equivalent to the demand? The skills that we need and the skills that we'll be able to supply. How many are we able to supply now? If we arrive at a situation that says we have more than we require, we would need in the future, we don't need to invest. And if when we check the current skills and those that we would need, and we discover that we have less than we would need, then it means we have a skills deficiency. We need to deploy resources and get those skills. Then it brings us to the fourth question. What resources are needed financially for us to get those skills? And what resources are needed in terms of learning centers? Do we have those financial resources and do we have those learning centers in the country? And if we don't have, which other countries have got those learning centers and what relationship do we have with them? This Sunday, I read
in one of the Sunday newspapers. Even people from the deep rural areas of Nogos, one young lady. They lived in a rondavel that was left to them by their grandmother. The father died and the mother died. There are three in the family, two girls and one young one. One of them is going to Cuba to study as a doctor. It's through government, Department of Health. But that response of the government is responding to a poverty and social problem of a child that was sitting in Nogo. A child that would never have realized that opportunity if there was no strategic planning. And that did not happen out of blue. It happened because the Department of Health has been very strategic in saying we have a shortage of doctors and we have a shortage of nurses. And in terms of nurses, they said we are reopening nursing colleges. And in terms of doctors, we are identifying countries that have got oversupply. We will have a short-term intervention of bringing those doctors once we are sending our own to go and train in those countries. It's a strategic intervention, not a program. They also said we have a shortage of laboratories. They also said our health services are expensive because we don't manufacture our own drugs with government. And they proposed that a government-owned pharmaceutical company, BSW, in South Africa. So the issue of resources, availability and non-availability of resources is not your issue. Your issue is to point a direction to say, what is the current situation? What is the ideal situation? And what are the gaps? What is it that the country requires to do to overcome the gaps and speak to the challenges that are existing in our society? I don't understand why you would have a center that are sometimes spending money back, and centers that are spending more money in training people to do hairdressing. As a result, we have an oversupply of hair salons in South Africa and less supply on tenants. I'm from a municipality, district municipality, that is the water utility, shortage of tenants. And in all the listed skills, you have not indicated to us how many do we currently have and how many would we need. You have not. And we want you to do that. The only agency that has been able to do that, Transport is found. Read the first time I put here. SAMHSA is very clear to identify who is needed. Seafarers, ship designers, builders, naval architects, people, maritime safety officers, maritime environment protection specialists, marine engineers, coast engineers, international compliance. They are listing, and they even go to an extent of saying how much in that cost. Very detailed. And Marital, the CEO of SAMHSA, has been to the portfolio committee on his request on his request to actually say, we are losing in these opportunities, we are losing here, we are losing here. Here it is even identified that how many shipyards are there. And when you sit down with him, he will be able to tell you how many ships go past our port and what services are required, how much we are losing in terms of job opportunities. It is him who made us aware that South Africa sold 57 ships in 1993. And as a result, we are not, as government, playing in that field. That is the kind of thinking that we want. So that we make it a responsibility then of this portfolio committee to say, when we are discussing budget issues are being discussed, to influence budget. To influence, we have now a budget review report opportunity, which we can then use to facilitate a situation where resources can be directed to where they are actually needed in terms of transport. We can't have president speaking of railway link, the link between Johannesburg and Durban, the link between Johannesburg and Cape Town, and new towns that are going to be developed because of the railway infrastructure. And then when we come here, we can't talk of that, of the skills that are required for us to prepare people to participate in that. It can't be correct. So again, we are saying this is not enough, and it is not what we are looking for. We are looking for a broad plan that speaks to the new growth path, and that speaks to the infrastructure development of the country. And the transformation of the transportation industry in the country. If there's going to be a lot of investment on the railway infrastructure, what does that mean? What skills are required? Also, we can't have a plan here that doesn't speak to roads, why we are, which areas we are targeting in terms of road development, and what skills we are needing. If I may say, you get very much frustrated when departments subject themselves to views of consultants instead of subjecting themselves to views of government, Department of Science and Technology, government, council for science and industrial research, but they subject themselves to the view of engineering consultants. Who would advise them even on our outdated technology because they want to make money? If re-graveling the road keeps a consulting engineering company busy for 18 months as opposed to introducing a new technology, that will keep them busy for only 1 month to fix a 6-kilometer road, what do you think the use of the consulting engineering company would be? Don't use this new technology. It's not good, even if it is approved by the South African Bureau of Standards. Because to them, remember, they make money by selling time. So if it is good for them to stay longer providing services in the department, they will recommend us. But on our side, we want to shorten the time of delivery. We want also to reduce the cost of providing the service. So, as the portfolio committee, we are disturbed when we go to provinces and find that in the Northwest, one department, not the whole government structure in the Northwest, one department, Department of Transport, has got 110 consultants. 110. One department in one province. To us, that indicates that the officials do not do anything, or they don't have the required skills. They depend on the consultants. So the consultants are running government. So we are paying twice. And when we pay consultants, we pay more, because we pay in terms of, we pay hourly rates. And they are not cheap, they are expensive. Which is why also, even our SOE, are not realizing profit, because their job is to prepare tender documents and issue contracts advised by the consulting engineer. In China, SOEs are making profit, and they are even working in other countries, because the government of China took it upon itself to develop the skills of the people that are working for government and also capacitate the SOE. So we can then have 239 municipalities. And when you visit those municipalities, you'll find that some of them don't even have one single engineer. One. They are dependent on consulting engineering companies. That is the thinking that we would want you to look to begin to, so that we can then identify centers of higher learning education and say this particular university specializes on transportation. That's what we are looking at. When we then come down to program, when you have developed a strategy intervention, this what you have presented to us is not. This is not a strategy intervention. It is, on some slides, you think that you are talking to a program. There is no model. We can't see what our model is. How are we going to develop all these skills that we are talking about? And if you are not clear, because the time is limited, if you are not clear, my office is open for you to phone me, sit down with me before you come back and make a presentation. We will be calling you back to come and present to us a strategic intervention for human resource development in South Africa in relation to our new group path and the future direction of transportation development in South Africa. Development of the transportation industry in South Africa. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.